You know, as you read your Bible, you'll find that there are over 500 references in the Bible to music. Over 500. That's a lot. Now, we're going to look at 400 of those tonight. We're just kidding. Okay. It's still light out. You'll get out before it gets dark. All right. 500. Now, there are a lot of doctrines in the Bible that don't have near that many references. They're all important, even if they're mentioned one time. But God speaks about music in great detail. There's a lot in the Bible about music. And so we have looked last week on the subject of music. This month we're looking at music. Now, music is a language that everyone understands. Everybody understands the language of music. Look at verse number 4 in our text in Daniel chapter 3, verse number 4. So you get the idea here. All of these conquered peoples are gathered on the plains of Dura. Nebuchadnezzar has made a golden statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. It's an idol. So he wants everyone to bow down and worship the statue on a signal. What is the signal? The signal isn't what they're saying. The signal is what they're hearing. And what they're hearing is not even words. What they're hearing is music. You thought you were going to get off not having to read that list, right? Flute, harp, sack, butt, psaltery, dulcimer, all kinds of music. And then you had the last one. So we had two practices and I almost got it almost right every time. And then we had to say it together. But verse number 4, then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. So the signal was, hey, when the band plays, everybody bows down. That was the universal language. That language is the language of music. Music is a language that everyone understands. All people, all nations, and all languages understood what was meant when the music was played. You didn't have to tell them twice. As a matter of fact, some people got told twice and they still didn't listen, right? And they went into the fiery furnace because they weren't going to bow down because it's idolatry. But the music is commonly called, the language of emotions. Don't miss that. The language of emotions. Music creates an emotional response. Music creates a mood. I was studying a little bit and, I was studying a little bit and I came across an article that was written by an anesthesiologist. It was really interesting because he wasn't a preacher, but who knows more about the subconscious mind than an anesthesiologist? And as he's putting people under and bringing people out from, unconsciousness, that's a very, 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 very definite science. I mean, you have to be really careful. And there's a lot that goes into that, a lot I can't even comprehend. But he said that there are certain rhythms and there are certain things that go with music that the subconscious picks up right away. And he studied the subconscious because he's putting people on monitors, right? And he's got brain waves going on and all these different. You ever go in a hospital? It's like, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. He's like, what is all this? I feel like I'm in the cockpit of an airplane, right? And but when he played a certain kind of music, there was an immediate response in the subconscious. The guy wasn't even talking. The guy couldn't even communicate. Matter of fact, probably when he woke up, he didn't even know what happened, right? I mean, how many times have you been through that or heard about that, right? But the subconscious picks it up immediately because music is the language of the emotion. It goes way deeper than just what we hear and what we comprehend and what we're talking about. It transcends that. Music creates a mood. Music is communication. It crosses language barriers. It crosses ethnic barriers, cultural boundaries. It bypasses all boundaries and it goes straight to your heart. Now, don't you think that'd be really important that our music is right? Because we can't filter out what comes straight to our heart. If we allow it into our life, all the roadblocks get knocked over. Every boundary that we put up gets jumped over. Everything becomes a hurdle and it goes right to our heart. We are commended Here's a Bible verse. You know this verse. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We have to guard our heart. That means we need to guard what kind of music is influencing our heart. Because music does influence our heart. There are two parts to music. There is the sound, and then there are the words. Music is a dual language. How many times have I've been maybe on the mission field, or I've seen, matter of fact, Brother Davis, our missionary in Myanmar, he had a video he put up on Facebook, and the Burmese people there were singing, I don't remember what it was, you know, "I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today." I couldn't understand a word that they were saying, but I knew exactly what they were saying, because I know the music. The music is a language. Now, if they were singing in English and they didn't have any music, I'd understand that as well. But there's two parts to music. There's the sound, and then there are the words. Listen to this. A noted professor of psychoacoustics, Fritz Winkel. I thought that was a made-up name too, okay? It's not. Psychoacoustics might be made up, but Fritz Winkel is real, okay? He's related to Rip. And in his book, Music, Sound, and Sensation, said this. The sound language has gained the upper hand over the words. The sound has become more powerful than the words. The average Christian has come to accept, if the words are good, then the music is okay. Don't miss that. The average Christian in 2022 has come to accept the false notion, if the words are good, then the music is okay. You could take the words from our hymn book and put it into the Rolling Stones music, and most Christians would think it's just fine. They'd say it's okay because the words are good. I'm telling you, there's more to music than just the words. There is the sound. That the medium that comes across as the sound is just as important, if not more important, than the words. This professor argues the sound communicates more than the words. He's a professor of psychoacoustics, the science of the acoustics of the sound. Music creates emotion. Think about this. If we were to get on the piano and we were to play, "Oh, say, can you see?" Hey, how many times have you heard the Star Spangled Banner and a tear welled up in your eye? Listen, that basketball player that's being detained over in Russia, who refused to stand for the national anthem. I'll bet she'd stand for it right now. But she's not, you know, "Yeah, go ahead and play that song for me." She'd kiss the ground if she got over here right now, right? Look, I hope she gets released, okay? But how many times has the Star Spangled Banner caused you to cry? It's caused me to cry. I almost cry every time I hear it. Sometimes I do because I'm thinking about, I love my country. I put my hand on my heart. It creates an emotion. Music does that. Listen, music creates an emotion. There's fight music. You know, some guy wants to get in the ring and beat some other guy's brains out, right? He gets all jacked up and he starts playing this fight music and whatever it is, and right? Fight music. There's dance music. Never mind, I won't do that one, right? But there's music. It creates an emotion. I mean, you walk into a place and they're going da-da-da, and pretty soon you find yourself, go, what am I doing, okay? You catch yourself kind of falling into that trap of whatever the music is, right? If the music is fast, you're in a hurry. Right? Listen, restaurants know that. They want you to hang around because there's nobody in the restaurant. They play the violin music and you're like, you slow way down, right? If the place is busy, they play something peppy, right? Trying to get you to chew that food and gulp that stuff down and hurry up and clear the table out for the next person, right? They know that. Music creates a response. What are some emotions? What are some human emotions? Just tell me. Just pop up. Give me an emotion. Happiness, okay? Anger. Who? Frustration. Sadness. Joy. Kindness. What's an emotion? Running. Okay? I never had that one, but okay. So speed, fast, okay? An emotion. Fear. Okay, fear is an emotion. What's another emotion? Love. Good. What's another one? Acceleration. Okay. Anxiety. Good. Adrenaline is an emotion. Okay. What's another emotion? I wrote down a few. Okay. Pain. That's an emotion. Hatred. Lust. Jealousy. Malice. Covetousness. Okay, now here's the question. Is every emotion right for a Christian to have? No, it's not. Every emotion in the gamut of emotions is not right for a Christian to have. If some emotions are wrong for a Christian, then some sounds are also wrong for a Christian because they elicit that emotion. You see what I'm saying? Sounds bring emotions. All emotions are not right and righteous emotions. The next several quotations come from men who make no claim at all, none, of being a Christian. Yet they recognize the importance of music. You know, if the lost world knows the importance of music, the saved ought to doubly know the importance of music. Because we have a Bible that talks all about music. And we can take what we know about music in general, we can pair it with what we know in the Bible, and we can come up with a really good parameter of music. They recognize the importance of music and the direction of modern music. David Tame, again, no claim to being a Christian, in his work, The Secret Power of Music. It's not a biblical work. I don't even think it references the Bible at all. But he just wrote this book, and it's called The Secret Power of Music. He said this, music is a form of language. Music is more than language. It is the language of languages. Did you see that in our text? Here's all these people. They're all lined up. I don't know, hundreds of them, thousands of them, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands. And the universal language was music. When you hear the music, you better hit the deck. Because if you don't, you're going to fry. And everybody said, whoosh, except for three. But they didn't do it because they didn't hear the music. He said, look, I'll give you another chance. We don't need another chance. So you got the idea. It was the universal language. Hey, do you speak Spanish? No. Do you speak English? Do you speak Russian? Do you speak, I don't know, French? Do you speak Egyptian? Do you speak, you know, whatever? No, but everybody speaks music. Look, we could get all different nationalities into a place and play the music and get everybody start tapping their foot, wouldn't they? Why? Because everybody recognizes, you know. So be kind to your web-footed friends, for a duck may be somebody's mother. All right? We got that one, right? Isn't that the words? Okay. Oh, that's not the words. Okay. And, but you know, right? That's what we just start tapping our foot, don't we? And whatever it is, we've understood music as a human being. We're wired that way. It is the language of languages. He goes on to say this. There is surely no doubt that music actually conveys very real and sometimes very specific emotional states from the musician to the listener. Remember, this isn't a Christian. This is probably a guy who's lost. But he says music conveys very real and sometimes very specific emotional states from the musician to the listener. He says, like human nature itself, music cannot possibly be neutral in its spiritual direction. Now, a preacher didn't write that. A man who's just writing a book about music wrote that. Tame characterizes the many modern forms of our contemporary music thus. Virtually all of them are the music of materialistic humanism, devoid of genuine regenerative spiritual value. End of quote. He says virtually all modern contemporary music is materialistic humanism, devoid of genuine regenerative spiritual values. Wow. How'd you like to have that coming into your heart all the time, every day? Materialistic humanism. Not the words, the sound of the music. The sound that carries the words. It's amazing that the lost world recognizes the power of music to promote their spirit and their values. Isn't it all around us? It's all around. You can't go anywhere without hearing music. I mean, now it's summertime, right? You pull up at the stoplight, some guy's boom, 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 right? You feel it coming before you even see it, right? Like, what in the world is happening? My roof just caved in, right? And this guy, he can roll the window up, right? He's like, oh, it's everywhere, right? Music is all around. It's on commercials. It's in the store. It's everywhere you go, and it sells things. It elicits a response. Lost people understand the spiritual value of music. They promote their spirit and their values, while many of God's children choose to ignore the kind of music that we allow to influence our hearts. Two sociologists, again, not Christians. We could talk about Christians. We say, well, you know, I expect that Christians would tell me how to have Christian music. But here's two lost people. One's from Bowling Green University and another from Vanderbilt. In their work, The Sound of Social Change includes a piece entitled More Subversive Than Meets the Ear. The author, Gary Allen, again, no claim of being a Christian, said this: music is now the primary weapon to make the perverse seem glamorous, exciting, and appealing. Music is used to ridicule religion, morality, patriotism, and productivity, while glorifying drugs, destruction, revolution, and sexual promiscuity. End of quote. A lost man said that. He said, I recognize what's going on in our society, and it's tearing down our morals. Let's look at the language of music. Number one, Satan is attacking the home and the church with the weapon of music. Music is not neutral. And Satan is attacking the home and he's attacking the church with the weapon of music. You remember last week we looked at Lucifer. He was cast down from heaven. Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. Satan, originally called Lucifer, was created as a musical creature. He had voiles. We get the word violin, okay? A stringed instrument. He had pipes, a wind instrument. He had tabrets, a percussion instrument. He had everything going on. And so he had all of these things, and probably he was in charge of the music. There's lots of music in heaven. He was probably in charge of the music in heaven. Brother Dave, you're going to have to do that when you get there, okay? Because he's gone, all right? Now, in charge of all the music, and he got cast down to the earth. Yet the Bible says he still has his musical abilities. Listen, he ain't playing on the Lawrence Welk show, okay? I guarantee you that, okay? He still has all of his musical abilities. Everything that Satan does is a perversion of what God wants. Everything. He was cast down from heaven to earth. He's not lost his musical abilities. Has not Satan perverted every good thing that God has given? Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Paul deals with Elymas the sorcerer. And in his dealings, he makes this statement. Acts chapter 13, verse number 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Here's one of the servants of the devil. And he was full of all subtlety. You know, he's sneaky. Listen, if the devil, we think that the devil's going to come with horns and a pitchfork, right? We've all seen that. And he's going to come snarling like the Tasmanian devil and he's going to knock on our front door. He doesn't do that. He comes as an angel of light. And his ministers are angels of light. And he comes in through a very sneaky way. And one of those ways is music. He comes in through music and he comes right to the heart of the Christian. And he knocks down every roadblock and jumps over every hurdle. And people just gobble it up and they don't even know what happened. What happened? He got to us through our music. Satan perverts every good thing that God has given. You think of every good thing God has given, he perverts it. The home, he perverts it. Marriage, he perverts it. Children, he perverts it. You just think of it. The gospel, he perverts it. The word of God, he perverts it. Christ, he tried to have antichrist. Many antichrists, the Bible says, right? And there's going to be the antichrist. Well, he perverts every good thing. Everything, he makes a counterfeit for it. Remember Moses with all the magicians? Yeah, yeah, we can do it. Yeah, let's bring some more frogs. I mean, you ever think about that? Why? What's your crazy mentality, right? Yeah, we can. Well, a couple of them, they had to stay home, right? We can't do that. We're too much pain. But he perverts everything. Why is Satan keenly interested in our music? He knows that the Lord is many things to a Christian. But one thing that is key to our heart is found. Look at Isaiah chapter 12. Now, there are three verses that I want you to see here. And these three verses are very unique. As a matter of fact, Isaiah is a prophet. Isaiah chapter number 12. The next verse that we're going to look at is found in the group of the books called the Law. And the third reference is in poetry. There are sections of the Bible divided. The Old Testament is divided into the Law, the Prophets, and poetry. And three verses are found, one in each of these sections, and they tell us the same exact thing, but a very, 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 very specific and unique thing. I didn't even believe it myself. I studied it for a long, long time this week, and it's right there. Chapter 12, verse 2, Isaiah. Behold, God is my what? Salvation. Aren't you glad about that? What would happen if he wasn't your salvation? We'd die and go to hell, wouldn't we? We better get that right. Behold, God is my salvation. I would trust and not be afraid, for the Lord, Jehovah, is my what? Strength. Hey, he is our strength after we trusted Christ. How do you get from here to heaven without going crazy, right? He's your strength. And my what? Song. He also has become my salvation. He is our song. Now, don't miss that. He is our, first of all, what was the first S? Salvation. Second one? Strength. Third one? Song. Now, keep that word song in your noggin, okay? Write it down. Write down the reference. Song. Now, it's unique. I'm going to tell you why in just a second. Now, look back to Exodus chapter 15. So, this is in the prophets. Isaiah is a prophet. The prophet Isaiah. Exodus chapter 15. Who did God use to write the book of Exodus? Moses. Moses wrote the law. This is in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. So we have the prophets, Isaiah. He said, the Lord is my salvation. What's the second thing? My strength. What's the third thing? Is my song. The Lord is my song. Here in Exodus chapter 15, verse number 2. The Lord is my strength and what? Song. And he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is my song. Now, don't forget that. Look at the next one. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. And verse number 14. The Lord is my strength and what? Song, and has become my salvation. All three things found in all three verses, right? Now listen, I have spent hours this week just studying this one little verse and subject. It's very interesting. 112 times in the Bible, the word song or songs is found. 112, just that word is found. If you were to do a search and look up the word song and songs, you'd find it, I think, 112 times exactly. Now, in these three verses, the word song is used in all three. And the word used in all three verses is totally different than the words used in the other 109. Every time the word used for song is used in these three verses only, no other time in the Bible, the word is the word in Hebrew, Zimrath. The Lord is my Zimrath song. Three times only in the Bible. Only in Exodus 15, verse 2, Isaiah 12, verse 2, and Psalm 118, verse 14. The other 109 times is a totally different word. It has nothing to do with the word Zimrath. Well, we better find out what that word means. If the Lord is my Zimrath song, would you like to know what it means? Come back next week. The word Zimrath is an instrumental term that only deals with music and has nothing to do with words. Interesting. The Lord is my music, my song, not my words. He is the music that carries the words. If there are words, they don't have to be words. He is my song, Zimrath. It also has as its definition, so the last definition, and it's a short definition, just says the music, not the words, and then it has one word, praise. Wow. My song to the Lord that has no words at all is just praise to the Lord. Never mind the words. Now, I think the words should have as much of an effect as the music, and has a lot to do with what I do with my music, the words. But when it talks here about the Lord is my song, it's not speaking words to God or singing words to God. It's the music without the words. Music that doesn't have any words. If Satan can influence our music, he can get to our heart. Is the Lord your song? Not just the words, the music itself. Satan wants to influence our music. Why? Because he can bypass everything about our logic. He can take every filter and knock it down. He can bypass and run around everything and come in the back door and boom, go right to our heart with our music. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse number 21. Prove how many things? Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. You know what? That includes our music. Prove all things. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Hold fast that which is good. Hey, there's plenty of good. I don't need to delve into questionable and bad. I need to say, okay, I know what's right. I know what's good. I need to prove my music. If the devil is given our ears, he will get to our heart and he will get to our body. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Here's a question. I want you to let it sink in. Is music more than words? Is it? Of course it is. Music is more than words. The question is actually absurd. Is music more than words? Of course it is. But have you ever heard someone defend their ungodly music by using the argument, but the words are good? They've defended their ungodly music by saying the words are good. Listen, you can take the piano and you can play it like a honky-tonk piano. And that music would be bad. Because of the environment that you find that music being played. It is a poor tactic to defend music Because music is primarily not the words. Music is the sound of the composition of the notes. To defend the words and ignore the vehicle that carries the words is dangerous. Second Peter chapter 3, verse number 5, talks about being willingly ignorant. We want to be willingly ignorant sometimes. So we say, you know, I'm just going to not think about the music, but the words are good. So if the words are good, then the music is good. It has Jesus words in it. It has Bible words in it. It has spiritual words in it. So everything about the music is then accepted with a broad brush because we say the words are good. Music is more than words. It is the sounds and the notes that make up the music that we hear without the words. Words are important, but sound is significant in its importance. Look what 1 Corinthians 14 says. The scripture instructs us that the sounds in music are important. The sounds in music are important. Never mind the words. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 7. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe, no words, right? Or harp, no words. Except they give a distinction in the sounds, not the words. How shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So here are different sounds from different musical instruments, and the Bible says the sounds are important. Because the words are right doesn't necessarily make the music right if the sound is wrong. Remember Exodus chapter 32. Turn there. Exodus chapter 32. Moses is with Joshua. He's up on the mountain and he's receiving from God the Ten Commandments. And God is giving him instruction and he's gone for 40 days. You remember Aaron, the priest, is being complained to by the people. And everybody's complaining to Aaron and they're saying, hey, we don't know what happened to Moses. He's been gone for over a month. Well, he's the guy who brought us out of Egypt. We don't know where he is. What are we going to do? What about this God that we've been following? And how are we going to follow Moses if he's gone? And so they say, hey, now why don't you up, make us gods. You remember that? Up, make us gods. We don't know what happened to Moses. Let's have another god. And so they remembered all this gods they had from Egypt and all the things that they brought with them from Egypt. And so look at, he makes an altar. And he says, okay, give me all your gold. And they break off their golden earrings. And they make an altar. And on that altar, Aaron offers a sacrifice. And they have what we call the golden calf. You remember that? He makes the golden calf. And so he fashions it with his hands. Now look at verse number 6. Exodus 32, verse number 6. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. It wasn't a good thing. Here was immorality. Here was licentiousness. Here was wickedness going on. And they were dancing around this golden calf and sacrificing on an altar to an idol that the people had Moses make with his hands. Up, make us gods. Look at verse 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, this is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that what? Sing. Did he hear the words? No, he didn't hear the words. He heard the music. And he said the music is like the voice of war, the noise of war. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf, and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of the Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, which shall go before us, this man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, and I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. That's a funny story, isn't it? What a lie. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword on his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. What happened? The punishment, God said, okay, we've got to get rid of this. And 3,000 men died. Because of their wicked music. And it wasn't the words. It was the noise of the music. It was the singing. It was the song. It was the harmony that Moses heard and Joshua heard. It was like shouting. The noise of war. He identifies the sound. We have no record of the words, if there were any. But it was accompanied by licentiousness, by nakedness, and 3,000 died. Here's an interesting thought. Look at Psalm chapter 40. David talks about his salvation experience. In Psalm chapter 40, and verse number 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. That word horrible pit is the same word from which we get the word uproar, tumult, and noise. It deals with a loud, destructive noise. David said here, I had a loud, destructive noise in my life before God brought me up out of this horrible pit, and now I have a new song. It wasn't the words, it was the noise of whatever the old song was. It deals with the need for a new song. We recognize music by its arrangements of notes. Types of music are discernible. Music is melody, harmony, and rhythm. Look at Romans chapter 12. Then I want you to see one other verse. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. What shouldn't be conformed to this world? Everything about us. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Everything about our music ought to obey Romans 12, 1 and 2. Our music should not be conformed to this world. Not just the words. Oh, the words are good. They say, Jesus loves me. This I know. But the music is horrible. The music is from Satan. We have to be careful. Why do we walk guard around the music program here at Gospel Baptist Church? Because the devil would like to slip into the music program. And I can tell you, I can name church after church after church after church that's been destroyed because of their music. Their music went wrong. Boy, when their music goes wrong, everything else, you can flush it down the toilet. Colossians chapter 3. We know the sound of music that the Lord approves. It's a small list, but we have it here in the Bible. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We know the type of songs that the Lord approves. Why don't we start from that? You know, it is a very juvenile thing. Did you ever hear anybody say, "What's wrong with that?" Right? It's a very whiny baby thing. Okay? Yet we come to God and we say, "What's wrong with that?" Instead, why don't we say, "Hey, I'll tell you what's right with music. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. I know those are safe because they're in the Bible." So instead of saying, "What's wrong with it?" let's say, "What's right with it? What's right with it?" And just the music itself is important. Never mind the words.